Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
You know, our culture is so divided. Some people like this thing, and some people like that thing, and some people love this lifestyle, and some people love another lifestyle. Well, we're going to talk about some of those cultural issues today with my guest, Carrie Gintz. She lived a different alternative lifestyle. Let's hear her story. She wrote the book Jericho Unmask, an entrapped lesbian's journey to freedom. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Please stay tuned, won't you? Carrie, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Carrie, tell us your story.
Well, I received the Lord when I was five. I had a mother who was a praying mom, and she led me to Christ at an early age. And, you know, I tell people that the subject of born gay is really moot for me because all of us come into this world dark. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And so whether I was born gay or not born gay is really a moot point, because once we come to know that Savior, whatever life we were goes into the grave. Our realization of dying to that life might not come for many years later. But for me, the seed was planted. Unfortunately, I did go through some childhood abuse that my parents were unaware of through a surrogate grandfather. And that was just one of the ways the enemy capitalized on what he saw as, I call them, sin chinks in my being. And I wouldn't necessarily say abuse leads to homosexuality or homosexual behavior, because I think many things can occur. But for me, it was just one of the layers. And I, you know, excelled in school, but I felt very strange. I'm probably a bit older than maybe some of the listening audience. So terms like gay and lesbian and transgender were not terms that I heard growing up. And I just knew that I struggled with something. I didn't fit in. As a result, I very much excelled in school, and I dated boys like any normal young female. I was born and raised in Southern California, so I went to the beach, had a tan, and just did all the normal things. But I did notice that I was drawn to women. It started with female counselors in church camps and different things. But I never went necessarily to a place of sexualizing it or anything like that, because the culture at that time just didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
However, I knew it was wrong.
Why were you drawn to women, do you think?
You know, that is the age-old question. I would not be able to tell you. It wasn't that I was necessarily afraid of men. I think there's environmental factors, and I also think there's a sin factor. I think the devil waits to destroy identity in Christ from the second we come out of the womb, and he does anything to distract us from that end. So I can't really tell you exactly why. I just knew I was. And it didn't really... It started to really manifest itself in my late teens, although I didn't act on it. And at that juncture, my parents landed on a very, very extreme, I'll call it a Christian cult, for lack of a better term. It was the protege of Watchman Nee. Now, I want to underscore Watchman Nee, I think, has written some absolutely amazing Christian books. But his protege, Witness Lee, was definitely off. And the place I landed in, which is all over this country, is just called the church in different cities, made conservative Christianity look like Greenpeace. It was very, very rigid, very structured, many rules, outward rules that don't change the inside, but certainly provided, I call it the prison, so that I would not run amok. and I burned all my worldly possessions at 18. I went to church 6 days a week. I was preaching the word when I was 20 with very little reality or intimacy with Christ. And over the course of the years I was in that, I actually started to very much resent the Lord because it was so much outward restrictions. But it kept me from going headlong into a life that I knew was wrong. Fast forward, I got married in the church to a man who also struggled, who had actually actively lived in it prior to our marriage.
And you knew that before you got married?
Yes. And as a result, I think I subconsciously felt very safe, although he declared that, you know, he was free. And over the course of our marriage, unfortunately, many things occurred that I was not aware of. And I don't want to uncover him because he's just a wonderful man. But we really threw out the baby with the bathwater for the majority of our marriage. We were not going to church. We were dabbling in many dark things, but had a fairly decent marriage. We were very good friends and loved one another. And we had a child in the course of it. And 2 years after she was born, he came and said, I need to be true to myself, and went headlong and married a man.
Wow.
And has been married to that same man for 25 years.
Wow, what a blow to you.
Well, it was interesting because it's actually easier in some ways than having go to another woman, which sounds weird. But what was the blow was, is that it threw me headlong into my own struggle, which I now had to face front and center. And the Lord did give me the gift of forgiveness, but I started going to counseling. And I went to Andy Kaminsky's Living Water as one of the first people to be in that group, and loved the worship, but just felt that the only way I was going to be happy was intimacy in relationship with a female. And the reason I named my book Jericho Unmasked is because there was a day where I raised my fist at God, and I said, I'm going to do it my way. And there is a verse in Joshua 6 that says the walls of Jericho were so high, no one could get in and no one could get out. And there was a woman, Rahab, inside those walls who knew the God of Israel, who feared him and knew that he was all-powerful and almighty, but she was trapped.
She was a prostitute.
And that was my story at that point. I raised my fists, the walls of Jericho erected, and I was going to be trapped in something that would be ultimate destruction for the next 25 or so years of my life. But I raised my fist at the living God and said, I'm going to do it my way. And I walked into my first gay bar and had a number of partners, 3 long-term relationships, almost lost the relationship with my daughter because I was just lost in, I was just lost in sin that was initially very enticing like a drug, and then God in his kindness, and I use that word kindness is not a woolly or fluffy kindness, God in his kindness had those lovers cut me like knives because he was relentless to draw me back. And that's what Ezekiel 16 is. You know, God redeemed the baby and dressed her and put her in jewels and a dress for his purpose, and then she just spread her legs and opened to her lovers, and he had those lovers cut her like knives.
I mean, you're talking about Gomer, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And had those lovers cut them like knives in Ezekiel 16. It's a powerful chapter. And the thing is that the Lord was after me. I found a church in California. Of course, you can find a church that will suit anything. And they called themselves gay Christians. And that term, I will tell you, I am violently opposed to, and I believe the Lord is, because putting gay and Christian in the same sentence, even if you are leading a celibate life, is to basically put pride in the sentence of the greatest humility, which is the cross. And you cannot put those two together.
Maybe some of our listeners are gay Christians. We don't have too much time before the break. We'll be back after the break. But what would you say to them? What are some key words you'd say to them about this?
Well, I would say this. When we become a Christian and we were called to love the Lord with all of our hearts, there's also a verse that says, we died and our life is hid with Christ in God. So that former identity of gay needs to go to the grave, because Christ is the only one to be on the throne of our lives. And to hold on to that identity at the same time you're holding on to Christianity is holding on to a dual identity that does not work.
What struggles did you go through as you were in that dual identity?
First of all, my conscience. I knew too much of the word to be completely settled and comfortable. And the Lord lifted me out of Southern California quite dramatically for a job in Northeast Ohio. And that was deep mercy. And I moved to Ohio with a partner. And I know we're coming up to a break, but this really underscores a huge transition that started to take place towards what God would do in my life.
You know, let's go to the break right now, and we'll be right back. Carrie Gintz is my guest, and she wrote the book Jericho Unmasked. And it's her life story about how she was trapped as a lesbian and how God freed her. Why don't you give our listeners a chance to get that book? Where can they find it?
You can find it on Amazon, and I also have a website, all one word, C-A-R-I, G like girl, I, N like Nancy, T like Tom, Z like zebra, .com. And I regularly blog, and you can also click the link to buy my book there as well.
And so Carrie Gintz, and you can also get it, of course, Carrie, on our favorite site, Amazon.com, right?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, Carrie, we're going to come back, and we want to hear about your transformation and how God did it. Maybe there are some people who are listening who are going, my children are in that lifestyle. How do I deal with it? And maybe there are some listeners who are saying, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm in that lifestyle, and you can't convince me yet that it's not wrong to be a lesbian or a homosexual. So let's come back after the break. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. See you in a bit.
Hi, this is Robert Stovall with Hope Vineyard Church here in St. Louis. Would you pray with me for our country? Father, thank you so much for the way that you love our country. Lord, we know that you have a passion for all of us. And God, I pray that you would come and just pour out your spirit. Lord, you know we need you. We need your presence. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to come and bring unity, to bring your power and grace. We pray that you would come and bring revival in our country, that we might see many come to know you, and that that coming and that knowledge would transform their lives into godly people who would long to be with you, Lord. And we just pray for your presence and your power in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. My guest is Carrie Gintz. If you've been with us before the break, she was trapped as a lesbian and God redeemed her. But we don't know yet how that all happened. And maybe you live an alternative lifestyle and you just love to be freed just like Carrie has been freed. Carrie, let's hear the good news now. How did God get you out?
So I relocated from Southern California to Ohio, and ironically, I wanted my partner at the time to become a Christian. I know that sounds very odd, but I did. And the Lord, by a miraculous design, led me to a very fundamental church that by no means agreed, but the pastor looked identical to my father. And because I had a very non-relationship with my father to a large degree. He had dissociative disorder, and he also struggled himself, which you can read more in my book. The fact that this pastor looked like my father, I think subconsciously, it made me feel very home in the church. So I continued to go there, and life was grand. And in September of 2009, he gave a sermon and named homosexuality correctly as far as against God in the context of the word. I knew it. But something at that moment just sort of dropped in. And the Lord also, by his wisdom, had provided me with a female mentor at the church. She was an older lady. And she just walked alongside me and asked me questions and just loved me. And even her small group said, are you going to tell her it's wrong? Are you going to talk to her about it? And she says, I don't need to. Her spirit already knows. I've just told her that I'm going to commit to pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to work in her life. Because I used to tell people, don't pray that I will not be gay. Because I had read the verses where you sweep the house clean and seven more come in. I didn't want seven more. This was hard enough on its own. So it was very strange because from that moment forward, the lights really went out in my life, not outwardly. I had everything going for me, great job. I was golfing. I had friends. Life was seemingly terrific. But there were always struggles in my relationship. But this was very unique because I started to feel the darkness. I started actually to see the darkness and the aging on my face. I swore horribly. I mean, when it says, out of the heart, man speaks, well, my heart was obviously not in a good place based on my language. And one day I just looked in the mirror and said, I hate you. And it was awful. Again, that is just God's kindness to lead us to our knees. Because for 5 years prior to that, for the prior 5 years, I had been praying in the depths of tears, not even knowing what it was. God, will you do for me what I cannot do for myself? And on November 23rd, 2009, I walked into my office at home, sat down, and said, okay, I'm listening. And I picked up my Bible from the way-high shelf, and I did the point to a verse, which I wouldn't recommend, but God, in his wisdom, led me to Luke 3, and it said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and I have come to make the crooked path straight. Now, I want to clarify. The opposite of homosexuality is not heterosexuality. So the straight path is a path of holiness. A bomb went off in my being. It was as if this thread of DNA that had woven itself through my being, that had become so much of my identity, God just said, you know, Carrie, I've been weaving alongside that same thread, and you don't need it anymore. I'm enough. And it was like the woman with the fever, like the woman with the issue. I mean, God reached in and changed me from the inside out, and I was in absolute shock. I got up the next day. Nothing looked the same. I didn't know exactly what to do. I just knew that I could never go back, and I told my partner that night, God has spoken to me. I can't go back. And literally, everything changed on a dime. But that wasn't the end of the story, because being healed from homosexuality is wonderful. It's a massive work. And I had a praying mother who did never let her pride get in the way, never was ashamed of me as her child, never was embarrassed. She gathered marchers. She gathered prayer warriors for 25 years. And that's what I would underscore to parents. Never let it be the main thing. Let Jesus be the main thing. And let prayer be the main thing. And if your son or daughter is not a Christian, lead them to Christ first. But I think the thing that I would like to underscore is just in that process of healing, yes, God brought me many Christian women believers that were strong believers, held me accountable. It's like he built this hedge of fire around me. But one day, he said, I want intimacy with you, because I could say, thus saith my friend. I didn't have to read the word that much. And he said, no, Carrie, it's not going to work like this. And he started ripping some of those people out of my life. Felt permanent, even though it was long-term, it was temporary, but it felt permanent, because he wanted me to find identity in him. Because it's too easy to still horizontally align when he wants us to vertically align with him. And so I started getting intimate with him, reading the Bible every day, really finding out who I was in Christ. And that's why I say that the greatest hindrance to the next great work of God in our lives can be the last great work, because I fought it. I was like, wow, you've healed me from homosexuality. I'm good. And he's like, no, I need you to now find identity in me. And I'm so glad, because the book would be incomplete if it wasn't about finding identity in him.
Wow. Carrie, that's really powerful. Say that sentence again about identity. I think we all need to hear that a second time, no matter where we stand in our relationships.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would just describe it as, it's too easy to adopt hearsay. It's too easy to sit in church and say, wow, that really sounded good. It's too easy to read devotions and books and sort of adopt someone else's experience as our own. But to sit with Jesus and to be intimate with him and get close enough to his word that you can actually feel his breath and have him transform you from the inside out, where it's no longer just what you heard, now it's who you know. It's not what we know, it's who we know. It's who we're breathing in on a daily basis. It's that transformation from the inside out. You know, it's very ironic, because in that cult, you saw transformation from the outside that apparently changed. And now, today, I have the greatest amount of freedom, but I'm restrained by the love of Christ, because his word comes in me and transforms me from the inside out, changing my desires to want to be like him, rather than infliction of rules to try to change from the outside. Intimacy is the key. And if a person is listening and you're struggling, pray the prayer I did. God, will you do for me what I cannot do for myself? Be real with Christ. He already knows what you're going through. He already knows your struggle. Society and believers, this is a remnant walk, because it's holding truth and love in the balance. Love is not compromised truth. Love is leading people to the truth of his word and who he is. And that truth is life-changing, and that truth is where true freedom sits.
Jericho Unmasked, an entrapped lesbian journey to freedom. Carrie Gintz is my guest. She's the author of that book, Jericho Unmasked, an entrapped lesbian's journey to freedom. Carrie, what do you tell parents whose son or daughter is trapped?
Well, what I would say is this. First of all, don't let your pride of not having the perfect family get in the way of gathering your closest confidants and friends into deep and violent prayer. A, that they would experience Christ in an intimate way, and that God would just come in and be the one to have a personal encounter where the attraction of him would just supersede the attraction to sin. And also, it's so easy that when this happens to make it the hub of your family structure. What the enemy wants to do is he wants to distract all of us away from the face of God and the eyes of Christ. So don't let it make the hub and the center point where everything revolves around the issue. Keep him as the center theme. Keep him as the person. And don't take on too much credit for this sin, because we just can't as parents take credit for the good or the bad. We lead our child in the way they should go, and we pray and hope that their ultimate destiny and their ultimate choices will be Christ. But we have to hold them with open hands and pray fervently. So that would be my word to parents. Pray until the prayers are answered. March until the walls fall.
Well, march until
God,
the walls fall.
But it's God who will bring down the walls of Jericho.
Wow. And what about to the person who themselves is trapped in an alternative lifestyle?
I would just say that sin is very enticing. the devil invests a lot in it. If you're a believer, you know, and your conscience is pricked if you're honest. But you can't free yourself. So I would pray the prayer I did, God, will you do for me what I cannot do for myself? Talk to him. He knew you before you were born, before you were even a thought in your mother's womb. He wove you and knit you, and he's jealous over you.
Jericho Unmasked, An Entrapped Lesbian's Journey to Freedom. The book by Carrie Gintz, who's been our guest today on Encounter. Carrie, again, how can people get this book?
So you can get the book either through my website, which is just CarrieGintz.com, CarrieGintz.com, and it's also available on Amazon, Jericho Unmasked, An Entrapped Lesbian's Journey to Freedom. I do have an email contact on my website as well as on the back of my book, and I do respond to people when they write to me.
Carrie, thank you so much for having the courage to share your story today on Encounter. And I pray that Carrie's story has meant something to you and maybe will help you as you reach out to friends that are challenged and even in your own world of challenge. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Please join me next week. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.